City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's a Mandan City Current, which means Jim Neubauer is here.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. City Administrator for the City of Mandan, Jim Neubauer. And it is Wednesday, April 18th. We are in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and we took a couple weeks off. So it's been a couple. We've had a little bit of a gap. So welcome back.
Your listening audience probably enjoyed that.
Well, considering last night was a three-hour meeting, so yes. We do have a few things to talk about. Three-hour meeting, which was Mandan City Commission and the Mandan Board of Equalization.
Regular Board of Commissioners met, and then we had the Board of Equalization, which is the City Commission, met at 7 o'clock last night. So yeah, we finished about a little bit after 8 o'clock or right around there. So
it was
long night.
It was a long one. First on the agenda last night was kind of a nice fun thing and recognizing a couple young people in the community who were wrote essays in response to "If I Were Mayor for a Day."
Right. We had North Dakota League of Cities in March puts on, you know, an essay contest, and we've kind of tagged along with that the last couple of years. And we had two really good kids submit their essays last night. Mayor Helbling asked them to read their essays. So if you want to hear what the kids had to say, Kelby Pritchett and Reagan Grubb, or Reagan Pritchett, I'm sorry.
I may have mixed those up
for a minute, but both the kids did a great job, and we were kind of happy to have them here. So we've typically done kind of like a little supper before the meeting starts to introduce them to the commission and invite mom and dad and grandpa and other family members come in. So we feed them a little food and kind of put them at ease because they're going to be up on live TV.
Nice.
For a couple hours last night, and I think both young ladies did a great job.
Yeah, you're forgiven on the names.
Thank you.
Kind of caught you off guard on this, and we did bring up on the screen a little bit of the activity last night. So they both sat on one on each side of Mayor Helbling.
Correct.
Throughout the whole meeting.
Yep, so, and they stayed interested.
Yeah, did they?
Sometimes we wonder about that, but both kids did a good job.
They were on their phones or bring a tablet with and play
so
games.
We had, I think, over 60 entries.
Nice.
That Mayor Helbling looks through, and he then picks his winners.
Yeah.
From that, I know the one of the essays involved thought that Mayor Helbling was a really good mayor in their essay, so I'm not sure why Tim picked that one, but I can probably guess. But like I said, both kids
That's
did a great
funny.
Job.
And one student from St. Joe's Elementary.
Right.
And one from Mandan Middle School.
Yep. And so. Like I said, I think that Ms. Pritchett has indicated that she wants to be president someday. So,
great.
Maybe this is the start of her political career.
There you go. Moving on the agenda, you had an introduction of a new employee or a new city employee for the city of Mandan, a very important position for the community.
Right. We've Bob Decker, our former city planner, retired last fall, and we just brought on John Van Dyke, and we're really happy to have him. He started with us April 9th. He's from Boise, Idaho. He's done some consulting work for another firm in town, so he's been here for 9 months, and we look forward to him. And he'll be a great help to Justin in our planning department.
Yeah, I bet. He's probably got a desk piled with papers and projects ready to work on.
We will keep him busy for quite some time. So, and John seems to be fitting in very well. And like I said, we're awful happy to have him.
All right.
So,
well, we'll look forward. I'm sure we'll be seeing him at the meetings and on television. And at some point, I would assume you'd be bringing him probably here for a City Current to
John
talk about some projects.
He will be the main presenter at our Mandan Planning and Zoning Commission meetings. And like I said, I think we'll get him let him get his feet on the ground a little bit, and then we'll bring him in and introduce him to our audience here.
Sounds good. Also on the agenda last night was a presentation. Bill Robinson gave a presentation on the Lower Heart Project, and that was really interesting to listen. It was a pretty detailed description of what's going on, just watching the dike system and some updates with FEMA and the Corps of Engineers and all that, all those people working together.
Bill is our chairman of our Planning and Zoning Commission. Bill is also the chairman of the Lower Heart Water Resources District for many years, so he's very familiar with the dike system in and around the city of Mandan and Morton County. A lot of institutional knowledge on Bill's part. I know he lives in that area, so he sees what's going on. And you know, in the 2009 ice jam, I think that caused some red flags to go up to say, all right, is the protection around the city man and adequate
sure.
in case of an ice jam? We've never had an issue with water moving through town. But like I said, the ice causes significant hurdles for us. And if mm-hmm. the water can't be conveyed from the west to the east to meet the Missouri River, then we could run into problems.
Yeah.
And this is, Bill did a good job last night of explaining, here's what the project kind of encompasses. And again, what our goal, if you want me to walk through on the map, I'll try and describe it.
Sure. That would be
great. For folks that are maybe listening on the radio, on the west side of Mandan by the Youth Correctional Center, the project right now, and it's in concept phase right now, would be you'd take the dike that runs along the west side or closest to the Youth Correctional Center and kind of move that to the west farther, and that will create some additional water storage and ability to convey the water. Moving along from west to east, if you're familiar with the Highway 6 bridge, and there's a kind of a low-lying flatland area, we would create an additional dike system about 20 to 30 yards, I believe, to the south, again, to kind of widen that channel of the Heart River.
Okay.
And again, the idea was to create more water storage and more conveyance of water. If we move to the farther to the east, you've got Sitting Bull Bridge, which kind of 1806 runs out to Fort Lincoln State Park. One of the ideas is right now is to create a bypass channel that kind of runs through the field that you'll see on the east side of 1806.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of make that channel connect with the Heart River by the second train, what used to be the second train bridge in that area. There's a lot of twists and turns in the Heart River once we get past Sitting Bull Bridge and go underneath the trolley and then start moving its way down to the south mm-hmm. to Fort Lincoln, that that bypass channel would be a way for, again, if the ice gets caught up in those twists and turns, there is a way for the water to move freely and more readily from that point by Sitting Bull Bridge out to the second
right.
train bridge.
Big project.
Huge project. Yeah. And the idea of this is to, FEMA's come in and said, you need to do something. And if we don't do anything, then there's quite a bit of area in the southeast part of town, even downtown area, that would be subject to flood insurance. And so it's kind of like, if we don't move forward on this project, homeowners, when you buy and sell and you have to take out a mortgage,
would have to be required.
Maybe required. I won't say have to, but there may be requirements
sure.
for flood insurance. And the way the flood insurance program is what we see on down the line, that would be very expensive.
Okay.
And might be cost prohibitive for some. And you don't get out of paying that for the, it's not just a 5-year deal or a 3-year deal. It's the life of the property. So by doing an improvement project in this area, whether there's an assessment district or how we're still working on the funding mechanism for the local part mm-hmm. would be, maybe that's a 10-year assessment or a 15-year assessment, and then you're done.
Does the State Water Commission have a role in this as well, financially?
Absolutely. Okay. If you're familiar, Fargo Diversion,
the
Minot Flood Projects, Lisbon has one, Grafton has one.
Federal money in here, too?
Not yet.
Okay.
But like I said, they have applied for a hazard mitigation assistance grant to help with the planning on this project.
So there's a lot of pieces, and there's certainly a lot of research that needs to be done to find all those funding sources that
right.
could contribute to this.
Yep.
But I think the message is now is that there is no safety issues right now. The system
in place is working. And
right.
I know last night Mayor Helbling and Bill indicated it looked like the ice went out. And
oh.
so that's kind of a big
of
day
River.
In the spring.
Right.
So that we don't, if you look at the level of the Heart River, probably Monday morning versus Tuesday night, significantly lower.
Hmm.
Again, because the ice went out, and that means it went to the Missouri River and away it goes.
Kind of an annual watch.
Yep.
Let's watch the ice on the Heart River. But again, the system that's in place is solid right now. And if this project does move forward, once all the pieces mm-hmm. are put together, we're looking at 2020, 2021.
We're
right
looking
there.
At the, and I always like to term it, when the shovels go in the ground. And you're mm-hmm. probably 2020, 2021. It might be a multi-year project to get this done.
Yeah.
And right now, Lower Heart is, Lower Heart Water Resource District just added two more members to their board. So they used to be a board of three people. Morton County commissioners in January of this year expanded that board to 5 people. So there's a couple new members on it that are very much in tune and involved with this project. They have put out a request for like engineers to start that work and to kind of finalize and get some actual design and build and cost, firm up those estimates. So that's where the project is right now.
It was a good report last night. Really, really detailed. Yeah. And there's a number of maps and all this information I would assume is available.
If you download or if you go to our www.cityofmandan.com website, if you download the agenda packet for the April 17th meeting, that information is included.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very detailed. And I would assume it may evolve and change over time as these things.
It's a work in process. Yeah. So like I said, a lot of times we will get, here's the concept on what we think will work. Now let's get into the design and bid and go from there. So
a lot of work so far too, though.
It may change a little bit, but right now there's the Water Commission, I think on June 13th, may hear a request from the Lower Hart folks to, there's going to be a money ask and help out with the engineering costs to get this project moving.
Step number one, or probably number 5 in the process so far.
5 of 100, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of hurdles to get over now.
Yeah. Couple projects came forward to the commission last night for approval, a final approval as Mandan Growth Fund recommendations. Kind of some exciting activity on the east end of
Memorial Highway.
Memorial Highway. It was kind of fun to see some of that activity going forward. And the first one was a PACE buy-down for the Phase 2 of the shopping center there.
Phase 2 of Memorial Square Shopping Center, if folks are familiar, you have Classic Rock Coffee, I think Man Cave Grooming, Dickie's Barbecue, Grand Junction Subs is over there now. And Randy Rowan and his investor group, they had always planned on doing kind of a Phase 1, Phase 2. And so that now that they're filled up on Phase 1, they are going to be building Phase 2. So I think there is equipment on site ready to start that project. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's been a really good thing for the east end of the strip in Mandan. That
looks like almost the same size. A separate building is Phase 2. Similar setup.
Eight different pods, if you want to call them that, or areas for businesses to go in. And they've laid the foundation. They've got the water, sewer, and all those things were placed. And also a lot of the parking has been done too.
Perpendicular to the existing Phase 1 building.
Correct.
With some parking in between. So it's got some nice front door parking available.
If you're in Grand Junction Subs and you're looking across to the north, that will be the new location of the Memorial Square 2.
Right.
So they had come in and requested for assistance with an interest rate buy down on financing. The Mandan Growth Fund unanimously approved that, and the City Commission unanimously approved that last night, too. So we look forward to that construction starting very, very soon.
And then related to this, it was a Mandan Growth Fund recommendation to the Commission last night for a retail assistance in a new operation to move into here.
Right. One of the other programs that we have for economic development is that for retailers that are, there are several gaps in Mandan that we're trying to fill. You know, we've always talked about the restaurant and retail gap. Footwear is another gap in Mandan. Mm-hmm. And there's one, I think, spot left in the Memorial Square Shopping Center 1.
Okay.
And so we're looking forward to Shoozam moving over to Mandan.
Got approval for that.
They got approval last night for that, and that's to help out on their rental assistance in that spot. And we look at it as the amount of assistance being provided, I think, is in the $5,000 to $6,000 range, and that is for 12 months total. And we look at, based on the sales of this entity and what they would be bringing in the first year, it would more than pay for that retail assistance to get them in. And then, like I said, it's for a 1 year, 12 months only. And like I said, we're looking forward to have a, not that I personally am shopping in the mode for high-end women's shoes, but that's what the store will carry.
So Shoozam moves into the existing Phase 1 of Memorial Square on Memorial Highway into, it looks like almost the middle spot, one of the center spots there. And they are an existing operation in
existing
North Bismarck right now.
I think they are in the Pinehurst shopping center.
Yeah, and great shoes, good service. So interesting to see them move over there. And
I think they've been around for I think they were the former Naturalizer yes. store, and
yeah.
the Lundeens have
started in Kirkwood Mall, moved up to Pinehurst.
And, yeah. I know Connie gave an impassioned speech about her business and her store last night, and certainly appreciate all the good comments.
She's a great salesperson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and she knows a lot about shoes, about feet.
She introduced herself to me before the meeting and said, well, your mother was just buying a pair of shoes from me today, so... I'll have to talk to mom about that and we'll go from there, but she was pretty excited.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it's good to see that moving forward. It'll be great to see him and I'll look forward to visiting them over there.
That and that whole East End, you know, Randy Roan and his investor
have done a
great job.
Lots of activity.
Bringing in several businesses that weren't there before. We expect that this Shoezam will attract what they say is, you know, your folks from around the
some
area.
Some related yep. type of retail.
Correct.
Possibly following along. That would be really something to look forward to as well.
Right.
Getting off the agenda. Well, we shouldn't get off the agenda. Let's touch real quickly on the Board of Equalization. That was an annual report from yep. your city assessor about the tax rolls. What's
right.
going on with the assessments?
So Melanie, our city assessor, we advertise this as a 7 o'clock meeting. And that's why we were there a little late last night. Mm-hmm. But that is a chance for people to come in and question and ask, you know, why is my property value this or why is it that? And the role of the assessor is to determine, you know, what those values should be. And, you know, Melanie started out last night because a lot of the times we get the question, well, you are raising my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument against that is that the assessor is just determining the fair and true value of your property. The assessor does not determine what your property taxes are. Most people will correlate, if my value goes up, then my taxes are going up.
Sure.
And, you know, we look at it and, you know, we try and balance that between, you know, if your property values go up, do we need to lower the amount of mills that we levy to mm-hmm. generate the same amount of money in order to operate, you know, our city services.
Well, she started her report with it was a lengthy explanation
right.
of the formula that's followed. There is a whole process in place for this. This isn't a subjective process.
No. You know, property values are, we always say that people love their assessed value to be high when they're refinancing their house and
selling.
And when it comes to time to pay the taxes, they want as low a value as they can. And that's
yeah.
certainly understandable. And I think we all probably fall into that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie's job is not an easy one. And people, we have to, you know, we try and explain that we use a mass appraisal system and it's not an individual appraisal. So that if you get your house, you're going to refinance or you're going to buy a home, that appraisal that appraiser uses is a little different than what we do because we do a mass
right.
appraisal.
Of
We're
course.
Not individually appraising each house because that would be
virtually
impossible.
Hundreds of pieces of property to
right.
assess. So you need some sort of system that you can use that'll go across the board. Mm-hmm. And it would just, she also talked about how the state has a lot of conditions which you're following
yep.
as well.
We, you know, a quick example might be, gee, if we find that we receive a sale on a piece of property and the value that we had on that property was maybe, you know, 80%. So you had a piece of property valued at $100,000. We had it valued, it sold for $100,000. We valued it at $80,000. We know based on comparable properties and comparable sales that we probably had too low a value on that piece of property. So we need to adjust that value up.
Yeah.
And state law requires that that value needs to be between 90 and 100%. So that the value of your, if it is a $100,000 home, not too many of those out there nowadays, but we should have our value probably between $90,000 and $100,000 on that. If we are at 80, we need to adjust that up. And that's part of Melanie's job, and we have to be in compliance with state law, or the state will come back to us and say, you need to adjust.
Sure.
And that's what, you know, they've done in certain cases, and we've had to make those adjustments.
And there were some objections last night. This was an opportunity for people to mm-hmm. appear ask questions, and Melanie did, a really good job in addressing all the concerns. But bottom line is, she also agreed they will now go out to those properties where there were objections and take a deeper look, because right. oftentimes they're only on the exterior of a home. They really can't see underneath and you know, of what's going on, and there are certain conditions that may change their assessment.
Part of our assessment guidelines are that we want to be able to be in the home and take a look, or in the property and take a look every 7 years. And so you're on a 7-year cycle. It doesn't mean your property's not going to be adjusted mm-hmm. within that 7 years if you're not in that area of town. Melanie, you know, I think they completed areas 5 and 6, which are in the northwest part of town. Last year, when Shirley Shaw was our assessor, she, you know, we do certain projects every year, and last year the project was downtown properties, commercial properties. This year, we noticed that our comparable sales for apartment complexes, we had those undervalued. So Melanie and her crew did a project on, we need to review all of the apartment complexes in town. And we found that there were some, you know, adjustments sure. that needed to be made. So yeah. a lot of the folks that were here last night were saying that adjustment is too much. Mm-hmm. And like what we've told folks, if you have a question on the value of your property, please get a hold of us. We will come out and take a look. Right. We may have a mistake in ours. We may have a property at 1,500 square feet, and it should be 1,200 square feet. That makes a difference.
Sure. So there are many variables. And, right. and that is the bottom line, that this process, the report was mm-hmm. accepted last night by the City Commission, but this process moves forward in early June to Morton County. That'll be the next step.
Yep. We've got some opportunities now, so if people get a hold of us early, we'll come out, verify, and we'll get back in touch with you, say, okay, we verified that, you know, we have all the accurate data. Mm-hmm. And in turn, a report was approved by the commission last night. Next steps are Morton County has to then approve the report or change or adjust. They have those options. Once Morton County hears it, it moves on to the State Board of Equalization. And that is, those meetings are held in August of okay. every year.
So this is, at this point, if people have any questions or objections, they need to get a hold of the city assessor now.
Get a hold of Melanie, George, or Mary, and we'll get an appointment scheduled with you okay. when we can come out and take a look at your property and verify the data that we have.
Okay. Sounds so good. Sounds like they had a number of people last night yep. that were signing up for that.
Step so. One.
Yep. Step
in the whole
one.
Process.
Other issues, again, moving off the agenda for last night.
Yep.
You have cleanup day. Coming, your annual cleanup day coming forward at the end of the month, hopefully weather permitting.
Right.
The snow will be gone, so we'll be able to see the litter.
April 28th, I
yes,
believe, is the
Saturday.
Date. Dykstrand Park, so we're asking folks to show up at 9 o'clock where we will have some treats for you in the morning and hand out your route assignments and garbage bags and send you on your way. We'd like to have you back by 11:30.
People should wear gloves probably.
If you have a safety vest, bring it. If you have bright colored clothing, we do have
good
some
idea.
Vests available, but we probably do not have enough for everybody. Gloves, boots, long pants, long shirts, or long sleeve shirts, and you know, just wear protective coating. If it's, you know, 95 degrees out, bring some sunscreen
and
some bug spray.
And maybe a visor or hat.
Absolutely.
There is a Facebook page called Keep Mandan Beautiful, and this day is put together by the Mandan Beautification Committee and the Mandan Progress Organization. So they get together on Saturday, April 28th, meet at the Dykstrand Park, 9 a.m. They would like you to register if you're interested. You don't have to, but it would be good for them to know how many people are going to be showing up so they have an idea of how many teams and where to send them and all that good stuff. They're going to have some donuts
yep.
out. And
donuts, you know, and we'll serve you a light lunch afterwards.
Yeah, and when you get done, you get a free lunch, and so there's prize drawings.
Registration would be great.
Yeah, then they have an idea of how many people are coming. So cityofmandan.com/register.
Yep.
Or
right.
this Facebook page has all the information as well. Keep Mandan Beautiful on Facebook, right. and you can find the information
Bring
there.
Bring your
as
friends,
well.
Neighbors, and children, and we will take all kinds. And like I said, come
short,
prepared a little bit.
Short children, yes,
yeah.
they can pick up litter a little easier, maybe.
And registration helps with us
yeah.
planning for food and things like that.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure.
Should
that
be great.
We
Once
that.
The snow gets out of the way, there's always a lot of litter
yep.
laying around. So get that cleaned
People
up so we can green up a little
so
bit.
So supportive that, you know, we had a kind of a pre-meeting on Monday morning and our public works guys, Henry and Brian, were going to go out and drive the routes and kind of come back because some of them were going, they look really good.
Oh,
and we
okay.
might need to adjust some routes or send more people in one area than another area. But
there
like
you
I
go.
Said, this effort has made a very big difference in the community.
Good.
And I think people notice that, and we appreciate all the volunteers.
Well, and you have a lot of volunteers, obviously, or thanks, but you have a lot of sponsors that yep. contribute to this with prizes and food and all of that. Yep. It's really nice.
Another event
no
in Mandan.
Sort of throw a party, I'm telling you.
Yeah, local businesses from everywhere have been so supportive.
That's great.
And help us put on this effort.
It makes a difference. It isn't just to have a party. It's to make a difference and clean up the community. So we just got a signal. We got to start moving forward or we're going to run out of time. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention real quickly, you are still looking for some advisory committee volunteers for your Mandan Growth Fund and the Renaissance Zone Committee.
So if you're interested, go on our website and you can send us a letter of interest. And
we'll... cityofmandan.com.
Right.
Yeah. Still looking for volunteers on that. Those are very interesting positions. You often hear about these projects that we talk about here that are in their final stages, but a lot of times these groups are looking at them in the front end and helping that move forward.
Right.
So, yeah, very interesting. I want to mention, too, that we have elections coming up, the primary election on June 12th. You have four candidates for two positions in the Mandan City Commission.
Do we have five candidates for two spots?
Okay,
thank you. So
it's five.
Five candidates for Commissioner Rohr is up for re-election. Commissioner Labor is up for re-election. Mm-hmm. Both of those are incumbents running again.
Uh-huh.
And we have three other interested folks.
Three challengers.
Yes.
And then Mandan Park District also has, I believe... I shouldn't say now because I've just been corrected and I should know this, but we do have a candidate forum set up for the Park District and for the City Commission. They're both happening on the same evening. It'll be Thursday, May 10th at Mandan City Hall. People are invited. It'll be open to the public as all their government meetings. Mm-hmm. The League of Women Voters are leading this effort. They've organized this again, Thursday, May 10th, 5:30 Park District candidates, 6:30 City Commission candidates. That'll happen at Mandan City Hall. We will, of course, televise those live. Mm-hmm. We'll stream them live. They'll be on the radio live. And then we'll archive everything online so you'll be able to find them online
Video
if you'd
on
like
demand
to.
Video on demand has been a very helpful tool.
Yes, it is. And just real quickly, you talked to me yesterday a little bit about water projects that are coming your way. State Water Commission was looking for an update from the city, and you've been working pretty hard.
Right. We've got good news from the Water Commission, and we're very thankful for them for their support. Financially, we are working on the water intake at the Mandan Water Intake, and which we share with the refinery Endeavor. And we also have had a couple significant breaks in our transmission line that takes water from our intake plant up to the reservoir on Old Red Trail. And we'll be moving Water Commission granted about a $3 million grant to the City of Mandan to move that project forward, too. So very good, and for the citizens and helping keep our rates
water
stabilized.
Water issues, they're becoming more and more prevalent, it seems, with our communities. This is important.
Correct.
So thanks
aging
for
aging infrastructure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for the updates.
Thanks for having
us.
All
of those
Appreciate
good
it.
Things. Good to have you here, and we'll see you in a couple weeks again.
All right. Thank you,
all
Mary.
Right. Thanks, Jim. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.